Our first lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. This is Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. It was written to encourage and reassure the Christians there. These are some final instructions and greetings. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, I suppose we can all relate to Paul and Silas. I mean, we can relate to the being beaten up for your faith, the being thrown into prison, the singing praises to God all the way up until midnight while sitting in that prison cell, even surviving the earthquake. All part of the normal Christian life, isn't it? No. None of us have ever experienced that. Yet, we have experienced our own difficulties. Things that we thought was unfair, unjust. Things that were difficult to deal with. Heartaches and sorrows. All these things that happen in life that are difficult to understand or know. And we see in this story that Paul and Silas reacted with prayers and songs of praise. And I'm not sure that's how we always respond. Maybe we respond with the prayers with, help me God, or the, why God? To the, come on God, you gotta be kidding me. We respond in different ways in prayer, but that's not how Paul and Silas dealt with it. In this story, they sang praises to God, thanking God for what was happening. How do you respond? How do you respond when life gets tough? I suspect that we tend to respond with worry, or we become critical, and we just don't know why this is happening to us, and we're not at a place where we can act out in faith. And Paul, we read portions of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians and the Philippians, where he told us that we are to rejoice always, No matter the circumstances, we're to rejoice. And Paul lived out that faith. We saw it in the little drama we just did of Paul and Silas in prison. But he lived it out throughout his life, because when he wrote that letter to the Philippians and told them to be rejoicing, he was in prison when he wrote that. The little drama ended with quoting Romans 8:28, where it says that God is able to make good even out of what might be out of all circumstances. Doesn't mean God causes good in all circumstances, but God is able to take whatever is going on and is able to shift it and transform it and make it into good. Not sure we always see that. I'm not sure that Paul always saw that. You know, Paul, he reacted when he was in the Philippine jail with prayers and songs of praises, but I suspect earlier in his life, he didn't necessarily respond that way. I think of when he was, his conversion experience. Paul, as you know, was a persecutor of Christians. His goal in life was to destroy the Christian faith. Christian faith was just trying to get established, and Paul was wanting to cut it off at the roots, and he was putting people in prison, having them arrested. And on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians that were there, a bright light comes out of the sky, and a voice comes from the heavens that was Jesus, asking Paul, "Why, oh why, are you fighting against me?" And Paul was struck blind at that moment. He was told to go into the city and to wait for further instructions. Have you ever had that period of waiting when you didn't know what was going to happen and your mind goes to all the worst possible things that could happen? I remember once I got some food stuck in my esophagus, and I went to the emergency room, and they told me what was going to happen. They were going to stick this tube down my throat and poke that food all the way down. And for the life of me, I couldn't imagine how that was going to work. And just the thought of it would cause me to gag. And I had to wait in the hospital like 3 or 4 hours before the doctor arrived that was going to do this. And the whole time I'm just dreading what's coming. And then when they finally bring me in, they give me this shot to relax me. Didn't even knock me out, it just relaxed me. And the next thing I know, Jalen's taking me home. I don't remember a thing. My father-in-law likes to say the dread is worse than the doing. And I think for Paul, this is what maybe was going on after his conversion. He's in this house he can't see. His worldview of God up until this point has been from the view of a Pharisee, where God is this angry judge ready to punish those that do wrong. And Paul, his whole life, had been striving to do what was right in the very littlest detail. And now his worldview has been rocked because he's been fighting against Jesus. He's messed up big time. And now he's got 3 days, he's thinking about it. And then the messenger of God comes to him and tells him that he's forgiven. That this angry judge is not who God really is, but God is one who loves and forgives and transforms people's lives. And God is telling Paul, you're going to go down a different path now. We're going to take all that passion that you have, but instead of going after Christians to persecute them, you're going to go after trying to make them, bring people to Christ, and especially those who are non-Jews. That will be your new mission. Paul experienced grace, perhaps for the first time in his life. And it did indeed change him so that he was able to believe that God could use all circumstances for good, even those that appear to be bad. That's why in that prison he's able to sing praises to God, lift up his prayers and sing praises. That's what our two readings told us, that we are to be thankful. Rejoice in all things. In the Philippians passage, he says, we rejoice. Rejoice, and he says it again, rejoice, says it twice. And he says, the Lord is near. We are able to rejoice because God never abandons us. God is with us through it all. And he goes on to say, don't worry. You don't need to worry. And many of us are worry warts. We don't feel right if we're not worrying about something. But Paul's saying, don't worry. And rather, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You know? Go to God in prayer, but not just in prayer with the, oh, what's going on, but in prayer with thanksgiving. And here's the kicker. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want to know how Paul could sing praises while in prison? His heart and his mind were at peace in Christ. And Paul went on to tell folks to dwell on all these other things, not the things that worry and concern you, but all these other good things. Dwell on these things. Put your mindset on these type of things, not the bad things that might happen. The First Thessalonians passage is pretty much the same. He says, rejoice, give thanks, pray without ceasing. So the prayer and the giving thanks, they go together. We need to do both. And it is an act of faith when we're doing these things. When we're able to sing praises even when things look bad, that's an act of faith. I read the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, and I can't help but think about Emilio Beltran, who we've been praying for 4 or 5 years now, that Mexican pastor that has been unjustly put in prison, and I can't think of anyone else whose life, as he's having to live it out now, shows what Paul was talking about. Instead of griping and complaining and being angry with God for unjustly being in prison, he has led some of the worst criminals in all of Mexico to Jesus Christ. And he's discipled them and made pastors out of many of them. And they worship and praise God for what's going on in those prisons. But he's been in there for over 6 years. And he has those days when it's not easy. Last week I had a paper here, and there's still papers around the church in various places that give the latest update on Emilio and kind of share his story. But there's times of discouragement that he goes through. These people that he brought to Jesus, these people that he discipled, when they've gotten out of prison, they've started their own churches. And yet they've kind of abandoned Emilio. They haven't gone to visit him in prison. They don't even acknowledge his role in their lives. And that has to be difficult for Emilio when he hears that. His life has also been threatened numerous times. You read about that as he has led gang leaders to Christ. The gangs on the outside don't like losing their leaders on the inside of the prisons, and they want to see Emilio killed. And yet he remains steadfast, praising God, worshiping God, still leading other people to Christ. I don't know if we would respond in the same way. But we are on a spiritual journey. And we may not experience things like Paul and Silas or Emilio Beltran, but we do have our own issues that we have to face. Our own problems, our own circumstances that are beyond our control. And it's easy to worry or to criticize what's going on. But rather, we need to be following Paul's example and what Paul teaches us. That we rejoice in all circumstances. We lift up our prayers in these circumstances with thanksgiving. We allow that peace and that joy that surpasses all understanding to overtake us, to lead us down that different path as we continue through our spiritual journey. So perhaps instead of complaining or worrying, let's try lifting up prayers of thanksgiving and singing praises to God. See what happens. It can't hurt. Amen.